Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. I just want to let you know that some parts of today's episode contain elements that might be sensitive and even could be triggering for some of our listeners, so I encourage you to listen with care. In this episode, we welcome back Ashley Jamison from Pure Desire Ministries. She helps us understand trauma, addiction, and women's struggles with sex and relationships, shining a light on the importance of transforming our worldly views on sexuality. Ashley candidly highlights the different ways that women grapple with their sexuality. Ranging from matters of toxic relationship to fears of intimacy, her insights and personal journey resonate deeply. Ashley also explores the negative impact of violent sexual acts and fantasies and media content. She emphasizes the urgent need to redefine our perspective of sexuality as a beautiful and valuable gift from God. As a wrap-up, Ashley speaks on the far-reaching positive impacts of breaking free from sexual shame on all aspects of life, notably parenting and even personal relationships. This powerful conversation will invite women dealing with love, sex, and relationship issues to boldly embark on their individual healing journeys. To learn more about Ashley and the resources that she mentions in this episode, visit puredesire.org. For additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out links in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we love it if you'd rate and review the program after listening to help others find it. Now, let's get into today's conversation with Ashley. Well, all right, Ashley Jamison, welcome back to the program.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me back.
Yeah, so we've had you on before, and it's always good to have returning guests. And I'm excited about having a conversation with you today, especially about women who are wanting to overcome unwanted sexual behaviors. But before we get to that, I'd like you to just share a little bit about Pure Desire, the ministry that you work with, and just how you even got involved there at Pure Desire.
Yeah. Well, I've been at Pure Desire for 8 years now, and I got involved like many because we needed it. My husband joined one of the first men's groups, the Pure Desire men's group, Seven Pillars of Freedom, at our church. And from that, I was kind of like, am I the only wife here that needs help through betrayal? And so I started knocking around and knocking on doors. And my pastor said, you know, we don't have anybody to run the women's group, so why don't you do that? And so I started running groups. And fast forward a year, I ended up joining staff at Pure Desire and speaking and writing and just trying to be that voice. That can be scary to be when you feel like you're the only one out there, whether it's betrayal trauma or you're the female that struggles with love and sex and relationships. And so my role now at Pure Desire is overseeing the groups department and working with churches and working with people who come to me and say, I don't have a group. I want to start a group, or a church that says, how do we launch groups? How do we start talking about this and having the conversation? So we try to equip them with tools, but at Pure Desire, we also offer counseling online, conferences, all kinds of material. So we are here for the addict and the betrayed spouse.
Yeah. Now, what's a little bit interesting about your own personal story is that you can kind of wear two hats as a woman in this space, because you can wear the hat of a wife that has experienced the betrayal trauma, but you can also wear the hat of a woman who's had her own journey through this. Can you share a little bit of your own story of where you've come from in terms of your own journey with love and sex addiction?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20, and I realized, like, coming through it initially, I had like I had no rear view mirror. I had no mirror, no windshield. I was just like flying blind. But looking back, I'm able to say, wow, I had sexual trauma. I was raped as a virgin. I had confusing, shameful messages from the church, my own love and sex addiction, my own eating disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, I had the whole gamut of things, racism, which, you know, that was the podcast we did before. And I was one of those Christians that's like, that's all in the past. You know, I'm in this healthy marriage. I'm quoting healthy marriage. And Jesus took care of all of that, like it passes past, and not realizing how I had just stuffed down some of those sexual things, and it was coming out in control issues, hypervigilance, eating, shopping, and other kind of Christian, okay, gray areas. And it wasn't until I started looking, snooping through my husband's material when he was going through group. And at that time, I didn't think I needed any help because it was his problem. He needs to stop and then we'll be fine. Right. I was looking through it and I remember texting my sister going, why does this addict material apply to me? So I was like, oh my goodness. I just kept reading through it and going, this really applies. And then so when I started running the Betrayal and Beyond groups at my church, I couldn't help but see the material through two lenses, through my betrayal. But I'm also like, I feel like I'm reading my own story in the addict material. And so after I finished Betrayal and Beyond, I then went through what was what we used to use, which was called 8 Pillars of Freedom for Women with Love and Sex Addiction. And then as my coworker, Heather and I, we traveled so much together and we kind of tallied that we had maybe talked to over 2000 women in our women's groups Q&A, where we let them ask anything. And we realized we need to cast a bigger net because not every woman says, oh, I'm a love and sex addict. They don't realize that escaping to their romance novels or masturbating compulsively without thinking of porn, or, you know, not enjoying sex in their marriage, but then having an affair, they're not self-identifying as love and sex addicts. And so we realize we need to cast this net of women. If you have any challenges in love, sex, or relationship, no matter what that looks like, this group is for you. And then we're all going to have, you know, different ways how that comes out, but we're going to get to the core of why we're reaching for relationship in those ways. And so that's where we developed our newer curriculum called Unraveled, Managing Love, Sex, and Relationships for Women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you've kind of touched on it a little bit already, but just what are some of the most common struggles you see with women within that space? And realizing, like you said, they might not recognize in a self-identifying kind of way that they have a love and sex addiction, but what are some of the most common struggles you see among women in this space of sexual brokenness?
Yeah. So, you know, sexual health, whether acting in or out, is on a pendulum for those that don't know that. And so we're aiming for biblical sexual health. And what does that look like? And on this end, it could be having affairs, addicted to relationships. So I always need to have a boyfriend, even if it's unhealthy, unable to leave a very toxic relationship. For me, it was crossing my moral boundaries, my physical and moral boundaries, because I wasn't really a sex addict. I was a love addict who was willing to do anything sexually in order to keep my relationship or avoid rejection. Also, my eating disorder played a part in that because I had severe body dysmorphia of if I could look like the girls on the porn videos, if I could look like the girl he left me for, then I'll be more desirable. I'll be more wanted. There came a power play in there when I was raped as a virgin at 15. I loved the Lord, but I didn't have anybody to show me what being a messy human being and loving the Lord looked like. So when that happened, it was kind of this collision point of one, I'm not ever going to be good enough for a Christian husband. Like I've ruined the only thing I had to offer in marriage. All I heard was purity, purity, take my purity ring off. And the other part was, wow, somebody likes me. Somebody found me attractive. So it was a very confusing message for me. And it really started this cycle. And then on the other end, you can have women who are deathly afraid of intimacy or getting close. And so they want a relationship, but when it comes close, they self-sabotage or they have a hard time interacting with people. So they do things, let's say, on a web camera, because that's like you can distance yourself, or they escape in romance novels. Watching these movies and romance novels are safer. Or what we see sometimes is they engage in same-sex relationships because girls are safer. If boys were taught they're bad, they're dirty, they're going to take advantage of you, you know, we have some of those messages. And so more of the approach, like I worked in a doctor's office. So instead of saying, hey, women, do you have, you know, hepatitis C? I worked in a hepatitis office. We need to say, do you have stomach pain? Do you have swelling? Like we need to help people see their behaviors and then draw them in that way.
Yeah. So, you know, we are living in a culture, obviously, that has just been hypersexualized, right? How much of what you were seeing in some of what the women are struggling with is coming through the bombardment of messaging that happens through various types of media?
Oh, so much. I mean, when I work with my young gals or like my teenage girls, or even older gals, social media is rough because you not only see everybody's fantasy relationship. And so if your relationship isn't good, you're seeing that relationship. You're seeing exes maybe that you went to high school with and wondering what your life would be like if you would have gone down that route. You're seeing beautiful girls in their swimsuits and bikinis and comparing yourself. I've had girls tell me, oh, I look at social media. I look at really sexual things on social media to kind of like body shame myself into making better food choices. And I'm like, oh, this is so bad. Some women are going to social media or getting their idea of what it looks like to be sexually desirable in marriage. You know, I will tell girls that are getting married, we don't have to go into marriage porn ready or like rated R, you know, whatever that gray movie was. I probably shouldn't name movies, but whatever these movies are that are teaching women how, what it looks like to be sexually desirable, especially with the violence, that marriage is supposed to be like, this is the start of forever for us. We get to, this is the beginning of us getting to explore each other, try things, be goofy, laugh. That didn't work. Let me try something, you know, like that we get to go into marriage that, but that's not how girls are thinking. They're seeing TV, they're seeing social media, and they're like, I need to be extremely desirable and I need to do these things. And then
there's like a perfection model to, yes, to all of that, right?
Completely. Yeah. And the number of women that are now telling me that, fantasizing about being raped or violently, having violent, like violently pursued is what is arousing them. That goes hand in hand with our porn. Like rape porn is one of the most searched porns now. And women are seeing this, they're seeing it on movies where guys are aggressive and throwing them down. And I've seen a higher number of women in my groups, both the betrayed groups and the female addict groups, saying, why am I aroused by violent sexual acts? Is what we're seeing.
Can you talk a little bit about, because I think sometimes what happens is it's very easy for us to see, you know, even through our Christian lens, you know, it's very easy to see some of the problem aspects of everything related to sexual brokenness. But can you talk for a second of what is underneath that, that is actually a good, honorable, God-given desire? Can you talk about some of the goodness of our sexuality and for women especially?
Yes. So I can give you a very personal example. I was also one of those women who, for some reason, I was like, why am I attracted to like aggressive, bad boy, violent type, you know, behaviors. And I realized doing my deep work that growing up in a house without a father, which I was totally one of those Christians, like, oh, it's not a father wound. It's not a mother wound, you know, like, and then as I'm doing the work, I'm like, it's a father wound.
Right.
But I grew up in a house very, very lonely. And so, you know, Kelly McDaniel talks about mother hunger, and then we talk about father wounds. And my mom was a workaholic because she grew up poor. So providing financially was how she wanted to show love. And then my dad was gone. And then, like I've shared with you before, I grew up in a very, very white neighborhood and I experienced a lot of racism. So I felt constantly and chronically alone. And so I've realized that that bad boy image or that kind of aggressor I was chasing after, I was really looking for a protector. I was looking for somebody who would fight for me. But then what happens is you get into the relationship and you're like, oh, they're violent with me. They're aggressive with me. And I end up stuck in these bad relationships. But Shannon Elthridge, her book, The Fantasy Fallacy. I love that book because she really diminishes the shame around having certain fantasies and wants to take you on a deep dive of like, where is that fantasy coming from? Some people say we do things in our behaviors and sexually because we're either trying to repeat or run from it. And so we're either trying to reenact something that felt safe or secure or made us feel loved and accepted, or we're trying to run from it and do the opposite. And so we really do have to do the work to figure out the why behind our behaviors.
And how hard do you think it is for, I mean, I think of what you're even talking about now as potentially being an obstacle for a lot of women who are maybe even wanting to go on this journey of saying, I don't want to do these things anymore, is an obstacle of being able to even see their sexuality as something that is good. Can you talk about what it takes to go from this one lens that sees it through either violence or aggression or just a way to kind of get what you want, or it's the only, you know, quote unquote tool that I have to try to get love? Can you talk about what does it take to go from that way of thinking around sexuality to a place that it's actually beautiful and good and life-giving?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the best ways is to be in a group where we talk about it in a healthy way. So I encourage like my teenage girls to start talking about it, and you'll see grown women or teenagers, they come in and they're like, oh, I don't want to say the M word. I don't want to say the P word. I don't want to say the O word, or, you know, they don't even want to say the word. And so it shows like there's so much shame just like rooted around the topic of sexuality. And so I think first we have to lower the shame by being a church, by being a culture, by being a parent, whatever your influence is that regularly talks about it. Just diminish shame. It just is what it is. The other day, my daughter asked me, what's oral sex? And I'm like, okay, inside I'm dying, but I'm like, I just have to tell her, you know, I just have to tell her with my poker face, like what it is. She's in middle school, you know? So, I think we need to lower the shame, and telling stories and having people at your church or at your organization, just sharing stories. And then once you get them in there, we can figure out what are the shame messages wrapped around. Because if you grew up in a house where either shame, sex was talked about in a negative way, like just don't do it, it's bad, it's dirty, you'll get pregnant, you'll get STDs, save it for marriage. That's mostly what people get as a talk, or they get nothing. And saying nothing can create shame around sexuality too. Or the mom that says, oh, don't put your hands in your pants, that's dirty. It's like, we're telling 2 to 3 year olds like, ah, you know, so these messages that kind of distort our thinking around it, they have to be reframed. And so since our memories and our feelings are so closely stored together in our brain, if we had experiences that put shame, let's say we're a 12 year old boy or 12 year old girl, and we're looking at something sexual, and our parents walk in and say, what are you doing? That's so bad. That's so dirty. What are you doing? Or there's anything negative, we can store those sexual feelings with shame. Or we've had, let's say we're the betrayed spouse, or even the addict person like me, where I'm out on a date and I don't have good boundaries because I so badly want to be loved. I'm willing to cross my boundaries sexually, but inside I have incongruent feelings. And so now the physical act of sex and the shame of what I'm doing are connected. And so that is why I am such an advocate for groups, because every time we talk about something out loud, it reframes it, and our brain stores it away through the filter of today, through the filter of truth, through the filter of God's grace. And we're able to look at the biblical message and say, God created sex as beautiful and talks about it. And so it's really about, I think, processing some of those, going back to process where we picked up distorted beliefs around the beautiful gift that God gave us, and working through them and reframing them and identifying that was a lie, that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And that takes time.
Yeah. Now I'm imagining there's some women that are listening that they might be at all various stages of their own journey. Some of them, this may be the first time they've ever heard some of the things you're talking about, and they're recognizing, I kind of fit into this category of somebody that's got brokenness in this area. There may be some women that they might be years into their own journey, and yet there's still more to learn and grow. What are some of the most common maybe hurdles that can sometimes trip up women on this journey of trying to really live into sexual integrity and living a life where they're not bound by some of these old shame lies or, you know, just old patterns of behavior? What are some of the hurdles that this journey can present to them?
Mm-hmm. The first thing that comes to mind is it's really hard to live out a securely attached, you know, like your secure attachment style when other people are not that way, because you do have to kind of guard yourself in different ways. And so, if you work in an environment, if you live in an environment, if you're going to a church that isn't really on the same page, you can feel kind of like you're on an island. Because how do I live this healthy, balanced view of sexuality where we can talk about it openly if I'm with somebody who maybe hasn't done that work or isn't there and may interpret it different or may interpret it as, okay, she's an open book, let's go, you know, or whatever. Or on the opposite end of, we really shouldn't be having those discussions in church and we really shouldn't be integrating psychology with biblical truth. And it's black and white and yes or no. And so I find that that is the biggest hurdle with my women that I take through Unraveled groups. It's how do I go find the guys that are living in sexual health? How do I find the other girls that live in sexual health? It's very, very hard. And if you don't have a church culture or a church platform, often in this arena, you are going to be the first one to say things, to be the one to make the change. And honestly, that's the reality of where we're at. I think with the church is that you see it slowly changing, but for women who are the ones that are struggling, I think it's becoming more of a thing recently where we're opening up and talking about it. And young females are the fastest growing demographic for pornography. And so it's kind of new territory.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the benefits. Why is it worth it to do this thing where you may have to be first? You might have to, you know, go first. You might have to actually, you know, break down some barriers but why is it worth it rather than staying in a hidden place, staying in your shame, staying in the old pattern? Can you talk about some of the benefits of going on this long journey to a place of wholeness and healing?
Yeah. I would just say the ripple effect. Every single gal that's gone through my group has said, I wish I had this before I got in relationship. I wish I had this before I had kids. Why does my sexual health material, why is it the number one thing that's helped me in my parenting? It's mind blowing, but I'm like, this is what they should have made me go through before I left the hospital, not how to put my baby to sleep. You know, like this has radically changed my parenting because we as Christians, we need to be the ones to say, this isn't necessarily healthy, but it's so common. So why not talk about it? Why do we hinder people from being in church and talking about their real life struggles? And as a youth leader, when I hear the girls say, oh, I can't really share this answer because it's not a church answer, I'm like, oh, hold the phone. Like, no, all answers are church answers. Like, we get to invite Jesus into all aspects of our life in this group. It's hard to explain if you haven't experienced it, but I can promise whoever's listening after, you know, overseeing groups and women for 8 years that I almost never hear from a woman that they wish they didn't do this, because what it does is it gives you freedom. So if you're somebody like me, let's say you're struggling with white knuckling it or binge purge cycle. So I wasn't like a crazy person out there every weekend, like working the streets or anything. I was in church, I was serving, but every year or so I would fall off the bandwagon. So you wouldn't notice, you know, if you saw me. And so if you're a woman who's struggling with masturbation or struggling in these areas and you're white knuckling it, you have no idea what kind of freedom there is until you've experienced it. When you finally are free from those chains, it's like, instead of going to, let's say, church or seminary to learn where your purpose is, your purpose just starts overflowing, that God heals you in your most deepest, darkest, shameful areas. I say it's like you have a superpower. There's no more shame holding you back, and you are completely open and available for whatever opportunities God has for you. And that's probably the biggest thing I hear is there's not only mental freedom and physical freedom, but there's a spiritual freedom that God knows me fully, that others know me fully, and there's no shame holding me back from anything, any opportunity that comes my way.
Yeah. Talk for just a second about what does that kind of a journey, what does that kind of freedom do for a woman's self-perception or self-image as compared to what she might have seen herself as before?
Yeah. I think it gives the woman, undeniable confidence, like a genuine, I am God's daughter confidence. If you decide to leave me because I won't act sexually with you before marriage, or then you're not the plan for me. You're not what God has for me. And it just gives them this boldness in knowing exactly how they feel and what they want. And what I notice with women that come in is that they're not always aware of their feelings. It's like, oh, I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling angry. And these are kind of like maybe three or four basic feelings. And then they start learning like, oh, this is my feelings wheel. I feel rejected. I feel, you know, I'm feeling hopeless. I'm feeling jealous. They're starting to be able to really put together their thoughts and feelings and know what they need and also why they do what they do. So then when they're real time in that relationship and they're tempted to, let's say, act in a codependent way or cross their own boundaries in order to please this guy, they're able to say, okay, I'm sensing that I'm fearing rejection right now. So what if he does leave me that I don't do this? They're able to like pause and talk through all that and reach out to their girls that they've gone through group with and say, this is what's happening. I need some outside perspective here because we all just think through our own filter. So I would say it gives them language. That's one of the things that I hear is this gave language. I opened the book and it was like somebody was in my head and able to write it down what I've experienced, but I've never been able to articulate. And it gives them healthy boundaries. As Christians, we don't have to be doormats. We want to be loving and we want to be hospitable, but there is a healthy Christ-like boundary that we can put in place with people. And then diffusing that shame around sexuality so that we can just talk about it in an honest way, even before marriage, that it's not dirty to talk about sexuality with your fiance before marriage, that we don't have to wait. So
briefly, could you share too, because I can imagine as women are trying to enter these environments or just even trying to enter some of these conversations, and yet they've had a filter or just kind of a way, a lens through which they've been seeing their own sexuality and how they relate to others. And so many times what you've been talking about, there's such a shame filter for that. I can imagine that a lot of women, and we see this in men too, struggle to know what is the difference between whether I'm talking to somebody who's safe or somebody who is not around this topic. Can you maybe briefly share what are the things that would indicate that an environment is safe for you to talk about this or a person is safe or unsafe for you to talk with them about this?
Mm-hmm. I would say in general, it's wise to talk with people that are same sex, you know, so we encourage that girls are in group with girls or that their mentors regarding sexuality, healthy sexuality, dating are girls, women, and then same with guys. Some of the things I think, you know, we have a healthy versus unhealthy kind of list in some of our books. And so when somebody is religious over spiritual, you know, if you're feeling like you have to check all the boxes versus being in tune with what God is asking you to do and what Jesus is prompting you to do, allowing the Holy Spirit to work, versus here's our church's list of rules. You know, I was talking to a gal recently and it's like their church doesn't allow the guys to wear wedding rings. And it's like, is that a church rule or is that a God rule? You know, and what's the heart behind that? And so, weighing, is it religious? I think one of the biggest things you can do for yourself in any situation is when you walk away, do you feel shamed? Do you feel worse about yourself? Or do you feel understood? Do you feel encouraged? Do you feel supported? And like you can go out and continue to do good work.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, what are some resources that you all offer for women specifically who are wanting to get on this journey at Pure Desire?
Well, we have online groups. We have a kit called Unraveled, and that's managing love, sex, and relationships. And so you can buy that kit and go through it on your own. You can go to our map and you can find a local church in your area. You put your zip code in and it will say if we have any groups within, you know, 100-mile radius. You can go to the Join a Group page and you can join an online group. A lot of women like that because it's anonymous, especially if it's a, you know, something that's really shameful for them. And so that's our Unravel group. We have counseling. We have clinicians that are experienced in women who struggle with love, sex, or relationship issues. Our newest resource that we're working on that's not out yet is for young college age single gals. And so that should be out by the end of the year. And then also we'll be dropping a new podcast this spring that's for women only. I mean, it's for women by women, but it's called Unfiltered Real Talk About Love and Sex. Or about sex and love. And so it's going to be a platform where women can ask anything. They can get advice and they and we'll answer on the air for them. And we really just, that's our heart, is just wherever you're at, anywhere you're at, there's a starting place. And so if you're not sure what your starting place is and you're hearing this, you're like, I want to start somewhere, but that all sounds too scary. Email me, call me. I love listening to people and where they're at and then saying, okay, maybe we can take this baby step if you're not ready for group or counseling.
That is so good. Well, Ashley, as always, it's great to have a conversation with you. And I love what you guys are doing at Pure Desire to really help women step into this space, because I do think, I've been doing men's ministry for over 20 years. Yeah. And I feel like there is so often this double shame that so many women feel in this space. And so any final words of encouragement that you would just have for a woman out there that is experiencing maybe that feeling like, I am under the weight of the world and I don't know if I can do this?
Yeah. My encouragement would be that you are not alone. You are very, very loved, and you are not the only one going through this. There's a whole bunch of women out there that love Jesus and have struggled in this area or are struggling, and really understand where you're at. So I would just encourage that woman to take a next step. The worst thing we can do for ourselves is to just keep it all stuffed in and feel like it will go away.
That's good. Well, Ashley, thank you again for being part of this conversation. And it's always a joy to have you on the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we are going to put a lot of stuff in the show notes about what Ashley's been talking about and link you to all of those various resources. We want to help you take your next best step to wholeness in Christ. And that's what we are here to help you do. And so please reach out to us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.